Our story begins on an upper floor of a building in Greenwich Village, where a young man hurls the Sunday newspaper through an open window, then sits back to watch, transfixed, as the pages flap over the neighborhood like a flock of gray birds. The motion of the world fascinated Bud, the way it flowed, rippled, soared, crept, burst into pieces. Since arriving in New York a few months earlier, he'd observed every movement of the city, every flash of light, every spin of a revolving door, every turn of a wheel or a head. For hours, he would sit inside a telephone booth in Times Square, monitoring people as they passed, analyzing their personalities, he said, in just that one fleeting moment. Watching the way people behave became a fixation for Bud. The human face, he pointed out, has 43 muscles, and the combination of those muscles can hide many things. Bud knew about hiding things. He'd been hiding things all his life, and in those cases, it was best there be no movement at all. Sometimes Bud lost his fascination with the world. Sometimes the 19-year-old Midwestern boy found his interest dimming, and he turned surly. He might punch a wall, cracking the plaster. Quick temper, Bud admitted, quick to fight. Sometimes a guy the nose, his girlfriend, Celia, would have to hold him back. He'd slump down in a corner until his anger wore off. Such moods could last days, but then, rousing himself, Bud might get a little drunk and do insane things, he'd admit, like throwing himself, instead of a newspaper, out the window. Hiding on the cement ledge below, he'd let his friends think, at least for a moment, that he'd plunged to his death 5 stories below. Such pranks made Bud the king of practical jokes. He had a whole repertoire of them. He'd disguise his voice on the phone, put tacks on seats, remove hinges from doors. And after a prank, Bud's laughter would bubble up from deep down inside him, high-pitched and slightly feminine, and those around him couldn't help but laugh along. Then, laughed out, Bud would curl up on a sidewalk in Washington Square and just fall asleep, oblivious to everything and everyone around him. When he'd awake, he'd feel exhilarated, because in that whole time he'd been sleeping, no one had bothered him. No one had come along and made him go home, or go to school, or go milk the cow, or go find his mother, who'd wandered off again. This was what Bud loved most about New York. He didn't have to go any place anymore. He was already where he was supposed to be. October 4th. The morning was cool, in the low 50s, with strong winds and the occasional spritz of rain, as Bud hoofed it up 6th Avenue from Patchen Place, the little alleyway of row houses off 10th Street, where he'd been staying with his sister, Franny. That day, as on most weekdays, the city had a deserted feel. New York in wartime was all Bud knew, a place where the women outnumbered the men, where the khaki of the City Patrol Corps had largely replaced the blue uniforms of the New York City Police, where grocers rationed canned goods, where nary a burger could be found on meatless Tuesdays. The nights still came alive, especially on the weekends, but the days were quiet. What the city would look like after the war, Bud had no idea. He was a handsome young man with blondish brown hair and gray-blue eyes. His 5'10 frame was solid but lean, without a lot of muscle. He was the rare 19-year-old on the street not wearing a uniform. Bud had been classified 4F. But even if he had gone into the army, he thought, he wouldn't have been any good. "Somebody tells me what to do," he explained, "and I'm going to wonder why I should do it." He'd never been able to snap to and salute. Still, he'd done his duty, trooping down with the rest of the boys back in Libertyville, Illinois, to enlist when President Roosevelt declared war nearly 2 years earlier. For the recruiters, Bud was prime meat, young and strong, a former military school student, and they were snapping kids up from military school pretty fast, Bud remembered. But when the doctor asked him if he'd ever had any injuries, he answered truthfully, "Well, my knee has bothered me a little bit." During one football scrimmage at school, he'd snapped his semilunar cartilage. The doctor grabbed his leg, pulled it in and out of joint, and announced, "Sorry, son, you're 4F. Bud felt bad about that, since all the boys around him had been packed off to war.